24th of January 2010, Tesh Shvat Toshin Ayin. I give the share we're on North Hens and Kolel, share given by Gershon Heckner, Tillim chapter Tes Zayin, first share on the chapter. We should give the share for, hopefully, with the Zechus of a Rav Shlim, as the Rav said, for Joe, Chaim Yosef Ben Mazal. So, look, we'll first go through the chapter in its entirety, and we'll probably get through Pasuk Aleph only in detail. Norman, that's you. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Michtam Medavid. We'll have to define this word. Michtam is a very hard word. We'll just call it Michtam for the moment. It has various meanings. Michtam Medavid, Shamini Kel Gav, Mihakud Shvachu, Ki Chasisi Vach, because I take refuge in you. Omarit Lashen, Omarit, you said, Takud Shvachu, Hashem Otto, you are God. Tevosi balolecha, my good is not incumbent upon you. You're not mechuyev to look after me and do good things to me. Likadoshim asher ba'oretz heima, rather my good, anything good that happens to me is in the zechus of kadoshim, of holy people who are already ba'oretz. They're already buried in the world, buried in the earth. Va'adirei, and all mighty people, as reference to tzaddikim, kol chesivam, all that I desire is through them. Yirbu atzvosam acher moho.
Where did you say
buried? Asher ba'oretz, those who are in the earth. Okay. I mean, people who are buried in the earth.
Must be that they're buried, must be.
Yeah, pardon?
Must be, even if it doesn't say that.
Yeah. Oh, there are loads of missing words that you have to put in, that the Mepharshim give, in order to understand what the Pasuk is about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we'll get to it.
Yeah, but
yeah, but Oretz, I haven't seen that pshat, but I haven't really learned that Pasuk in detail yet. So, yeah.
So what's
Hema? Oh, Hema, yeah. Asher Oretz. Could be, yeah, they are
in the
Could be, yeah, could be, I don't know. Yirbu atzvosam acher mahoru, those who run after at speed acher, other gods, in other words, other desire. Yirbu atzvosam, may their sadnesses increase. Anyone who says of it is Zorah, they should have a terrible time. Bala sichnis kehem midom, says David, I will not join in any nisuch, any libations to Avid Azara, which they do using blood. I won't pour out any blood for worshipping to Avid Azara. Uval esoy shmes masvasoy, nor will I carry their names of any Avid Azara alsvasoy on my lips. I won't join in any Avid Azara. Hashem menos chelki v'chosi ata. No, sorry. Hashem menos chelki v'chosi. You are Hashem. You are my portion and my allotted portion and my share. That's the translation given in the Art Scroll. Ata domich geroli. You support my lot. You help me. You guide me in everything. Chavolim noflu li bana'imim. Portions have fallen my way, have come to me, bani'imim, in pleasantness. Af nachalos shofra aloi, also an inheritance is lovely, is beautiful to me. Avarechas Hashem Hashem Yotzoni, I will bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has advised me. Af leilos yisuni chiliyosoi, even during the night time, my intelligence, my intellect has rebuked me. And again, I'm using the Art Scroll translation on that. A kilia is really a kidney, and it refers to a person's thoughts, to himself. Pasuk we're more familiar with, Shavit Hashem Lemeti Samid, I place HaKadosh Baruch Hu before me all the time. In other words, I think about him, Ki Mimini, because he's on my right hand side, and therefore Bala Mota will not slip. Lochem for Samach Libi, my heart rejoices, Vayogel Kavodi, and my honor celebrates, after Sariish Kenavetach, my flesh will rest assured, or rest in confidence. Kilo Tazem Nashi Lisha'ol, because you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will not forsake my soul, Lisha'ol, to the lower world. Lo Sitin Chasidcha Lira Shochas, you won't allow me, your Chasid, your pious one, Lira Shochas, to see destruction. Tedien Yerachayim, you should inform me of a way of life. Sovas Mochus Es Ponecha, enjoying being satiated with happiness, espanacha, in your presence or with you, ni'imosli mincha netzach, pleasantness is at your right hand side, netzach, forever. They're hard chapter, they're all hard, they're all very hard. So we'll probably just have time today to tackle Pasuk Aleph in some detail. Michdom to David, a michdom to David, Shaminikel, guard me Hashem, ki chasisi zoch, because I've taken refuge in you. Oh, so what is the Pasuk about? Saying that, first of all, let's to define the word michdom. What exactly is meant by the word michdom? So, for that you really need to see a Gemara in Sota. It's in Sota Daf Yud Amud Beis, where the Gemara gives no less than fewer than three definitions of the word michdom. What exactly does michdom mean? So pshat number one, the word michdom. That would be the ches. That would be the ches, that chasima, chesam, chesof mem. This is with a chof. So what exactly does it mean, michdom? So the Gemara says, the Gemara's first pshat is that the word michdom is a contraction of two words, moch and tom. Moch means poor or downtrodden, and tom means perfect. And the Gemara explains shehaya moch v'som lakol. David was both poor and downtrodden and a perfect person lakol to absolutely everybody. Rashi explains, what does it mean moch? It means he was downtrodden. He was an onof. He was very humble. His whole life he was humble, and it was in his humility came from a tamimus. Adam Afash Masana says called Eret Tachayim is that there's some people who have a sort of false modesty. And it's probably the Mustafa as well. You know, they go around and they behave like a big on-off, but really some another they're like, want to wear a big badge, you know, I'm an on-off, you know, hey, look at me, I'm an on-off, you know. So yeah. So it's an unnovel which is really based on internal pride, which is of course doesn't work. So this is mach the tom. He's mach, he's humble, and it's the humility is born out of a pure, out of pureness, purity, and it's and he's a genuine honor. That's pshat number one. Pshat number two.
I think we can't really understand this concept of honor in this day and age. Because you know we hear about Moshe Rabbeinu, who was also an Arnav.
Arnav Mendekal Halzam.
Yeah, but at least we know that that he was, you know, up on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, and that was his main attribute was Ruchnius. Whereas we know that David HaMelech had other tasks that he had to do in his lifetime, which were not to do with being on top of Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you know, being with doing all the at war all the time. So how can we understand this idea that David HaMelech was a humble man when he had to fight all these battles and do all these things he had to do in his lifetime?
The humility was a genuine humility. He had to fight a war, he had to lead an army, but within himself, he thought of himself as a nobody. The Gemara says that David's main focus in life is Talmud Torah. Yeah, and that whenever he wasn't distracted to go and fight and look after Klal Yisrael, he was off to the base of Medrash. That's a Gemara somewhere, I don't know where, or Medrash. So we have Moch v'Tom. Okay, second shot. Dabar Acher is Shehoya. That what's another pshat in this word Michtom is that again a contraction of two words Shehoya Shehoisa Makoso Tomo. His wound was perfect. What does that mean? Shenolad Kishumohu. He was born with having already had a Bris Milah. In other words, he had no Orla. He had no foreskin at birth. So Michtom is Makoso, the place where he would have normally had a wound, was Toma, was perfect, was intact. Yeah, he was no love model. That's he was born without an orla, which is considered a high madriga. Yeah, born as a high madriga. In fact, in other Strabnoffen base, and it's Bryce Hay, it brings there 13 people in history who are all born without an orla. And I'll give you the list. Odom, Sheis, that was Odom's third son who survived. Chanuch, of course, who was the son of Yered, father of Moshe Selach, in terms of the father of Lemech, in terms of the father of Noach. So Hanoch is the great grandfather, is that right? Father, grandfather, yes, great grandfather of Noach was Hanoch, who was a tzaddik and who died young because HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt he would end up becoming a Rosha, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him young. Ve'imenu kilakach eserikim. Then Noach was also born without an orla skin. Shem, Terach, interesting, he was an Obed-Evel as well. Father of Avram was born without the orla. Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Pasuk says, "Give me Shemesh." Vatera also kitov who, and the Gemara also in Sota says kitov. He was good, in other words, he was no lad mavul. Shmuel Hanavi, David. That's all we just learned. Michtam, Makoset Toma. His wound was intact. Yeshaya and Yirmiyah. These are 13 people. Now, there are others as well brought. Oh, where did I see these others? I don't remember what. Oh, there are others brought, I think in the Mephoshim, I can't remember now where I saw it. There are others also brought, also born with Nolad Mahu. One was Eov, yes. Zerubbabel, who of course was one of the leaders of the Klal Yisrael before, when they came back from Bavel. Zerubbabel, Kate's Bavel, Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel. And here's the surprise, Bilam. Yeah. Well, Bilam, of course, had the potential for greatness. And he just used all his potential for evil. But he had this potential. And being born Mohu is part of the picture that he had potential there for greatness. Okay, so that's the second shot in this word Michtom, that David was Makoset Tomo, his Bismillah was intact because he was no lad Mohu. And the third shot is Dova Acha, I quote it, Dova Acha, Michtom, what's the third and third shot in the third Michtom brought by the Gemara? Keshem Shebekat Muso, in the same way that when David was young, i.e., before he became a king, Hiktin Atzmo, Eitzon Mishagadon, Menu Milmoterah. He made himself small, he made himself into nobody, so that he could learn Torah from people who were greater, who had great Chachmah. Kach Begadluso, so too later on in his life, after he became a Gadol, after he became a great man, and after he became a Melech, Hiktin Atzmo, he didn't leave go of that. Even though he was now top of the pile, he was a king, nevertheless, Hiktin Atzmo, Itzamusha Gadol, the Menu, he still made himself small in order to learn people who were other great people. So he was this tremendous onov, and he was mucked in himself, that's Moch Tom. So Rashi explains, what does it mean? He was Moch Tom, he was again an onov. And then particularly in respect, in order to make himself small, in order that he could learn from other people. You see, that's the Gemara in Sota, that's Sota Yudamid base. You find the same Gemara with a slight variation in Megillah. I can give this to you. It's in Megillah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Very slight difference there about David. From his beginning to his very end, he was always very humble. Kishem Shebekat Nuso, Hiktin Atzmo, Itamusha Gadol Mamenu Batora. Slight different wording. He made himself small in front of others who were greater than himself in Torah. Kach Bamal Chusso, so too after he became king, Hiktin Atzmo, Itamusha Gadol Mamenu Bachochma. So too after he became a Melech, he made himself small in order to attain Chochma from other people. It's a very slight difference in the wording there. But we see from David how he was mucked in himself in front of other people who were greater, and we see that in particular in the Gemara in Brochus, Taf Dalad Amud Aleph, where he consulted Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was his brother-in-law, son of Shaul, and it says that when David had to paskin halachas, it says here that Mephibosheth. Why was Mephibosheth called Mephibosheth? His real name was Ishbosheth. Why is he referred to him as Mephibosheth? Shahaya Mevayesh Pnei David Vahalacha. He would embarrass David in Halacha. Because David was a great Baal Halacha, and nonetheless Mephibosheth seems to have had maybe even greater Chochmah than David. And he was able to be Mevayesh David, to put David to shame when it came to Halachic decisions. Lefichach, therefore, because of that, Zachar David, Yotzon and Menu Kilov. That's why, on the basis of that, David, who was very humble before Mephibosheth, he was zochet to have a son called Kilov, who was one of the few people who died without ever doing an avira. Kilov was a son of David. Kilov, Kaflamad Alafis, Kilov, who died without ever doing an avira, like Binyamin, Ben Yaakov, like Yishai, father of David, and Kilov, and there's one more, I can't remember who it is. There's one more. Anyway, for Amr, let's do this one. Let me give you the quotes here. Amr, something that David says. Oh, here we are. The Umel Komash. That's right. This is something that David once said. Koma Sheni Osa, everything I do, Ani Nimlach B'Mefiboshes, I consult Mefiboshes. He was an Onov, in Chachma. So David was a tremendous Chacham, but nonetheless, he was still an Onov. You would consult Mefiboshes, Rabbi. Mefiboshes is my Rebbe. The Omelo, and David would say to him, Mefiboshes, Rebbe, Mefiboshes, my Rebbe. Yofed Amti, have I judged correctly? He consulted Mefiboshes. So he was a tremendous Onov, and that's the third pshat in Moch Batom. It was Moch that even after he became this great Godel and a great Chacham and a great Tam Chacham and a Melech, he nonetheless was Moch, he was an Onov, and he consulted Mefiboshes.
Mefiboshes didn't join him as Kassandra deceived him when David was became Melech against his own father. When his father died, he didn't join David and Melech.
Yeah, but the reason for that, he was lame.
He was lame.
Yeah.
And his servant made trouble for
that's
him.
That's it, Sivov. Sivov, the servant of David lied and said that he was rebelling.
How was that reconciled?
It was reconciled. David saw through Sivov. Sivov lied to David and told David, oh, the reason why Mephibosheth didn't come to join you is because he's joined Avshalom in the war against you. It was an out-and-out lie, and Sivov was hoping to gain financially from that lie, and he did gain financially from that lie. And once David rumbled onto that and he discovered that Tzivah was a liar, he took away that which he had given to Tzivah, and he gave it to Mephibosheth. And David was unable to do that because the halacha of Hefka based in Hoya Hefka, that David had the right to take property from Reuven and give it to Shimon. Yeah. So Mephibosheth really was a great supporter of David. The only reason why he didn't join David is because he was lame and he couldn't keep up.
So David was reconciled with his Rebbe.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'll tell you where you find it. It's in Melachim Beis. I learned it very recently. It's in Melachim Beis. It's approximately chapter Yud Ches or Yud Tes. Somewhere around there. I think it's the beginning of the chapter. Yeah. Okay. And now just a few things on this. The Marsha quotes a pasuk. How do we know, a few riots, how we know that David was moch, that David was such an honor. So just a couple of pasukim that are quoted the Marsha on that Gemara in Soto Yudamot base, quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, it's chapter Kafhei and it's pasuk Tezayin, where David HaMelech says, Penei Eli v'choneni, turn to me and favor me, ki yochid v'oni. Oni, because I'm a yochid, I'm by myself, and I'm an oni, I'm a poverty-stricken person. So he refers to himself as an oni, that's moch, that's being very humble. And another pasuk is brought by the Sefer Eretz HaChayim, which is, I think, the Hasidic Sefer, a beautiful Sefer on Tehillim, where he quotes another pasuk in Tehillim chapter Kaf Beis, pasuk Zayin, where the pasuk says, well-known pasuk, V'anochi so la'as velo ish. David says of himself, I'm like a worm. I'm not even an ish, I'm not like a human, I'm like a worm. So again, tremendous expressions there of anova. Okay. Now the Marsha on the Gemara in Sota asks such a simple kasha, I was almost embarrassed, I didn't think of it myself. He says, we've got the Gemara in Sota which says that David was no lad mohul. Makoso Tomo, the place where his wound of a bris milah would have been, was intact. There's no lad mohu. But how on earth can that be? Says the Marsha. You've got a Gemara, a well-known Gemara in Menachos. Daf Mem, let me get it right. Daf Mem Gimel on the base. Yeah. where the Gemara tells us that when David went to the bathhouse on one occasion, he felt very awkward because he felt, I'm in the bathhouse, I'm standing orum naked in the bathhouse. He says, there's no mezuzah on the door of the bathhouse or the washroom or the mikveh, whatever it was, and I have no mitzvahs. Let me just track this down. Where has it gone? There's this Gemara. Maybe even close the whole thing. Hang on, let me just find this. Sorry. Men came on the base. Oh, here we go. Somewhere near here. To him. Put him in the let's see here. Here we are. Got it. Sorry about this. It's on the first of the medium length lines. Right. Over Shosh in the David of Etamechatz, when David went to the bathhouse, and he saw himself standing there naked. Amar, he said, Oili, Oide, She'em et Orum, blo mitzvah. I'm standing here with no mitzvahs. But once he remembered that he's got a bris milah on his skin, he was nisyashvadato. He felt good about himself again. He calmed down. Oh, phew, I'm okay. I've had a bris milah. My mitzvah bris milah is with me right now. I'm standing in the bathhouse. I can't learn Torah. I've got no mitzvahs on the door. I can't wear tefillin. What mitzvahs have I got? Ah, phew, I've got the mitzvah bris milah. So of course that's a stira. The Marasha asks, it's a stira with the Gemara in Sota, Yudama's base, which says that he was no lad mohu. He means he never had a bris milah. Yeah?
Never had a bris milah?
Yeah. So the Marasha answers, he says that someone who's no lad mohu, the halacha is we give them a tofa stam bris. We still extract a small amount of blood from the place of the bris milah, it's literally like a pinprick, in order to extract a small amount of blood, hatsof ha-tam bris, that's what's in Shulchan Aruch, Yeridai Reish Samach Gimel, that you still got to look hatsof ha-tam bris to someone who's no lad mohu. And then he says that according to the opinions that someone who's no lad mohu does not have to have a bris milah, then he felt happy not for the positivity of having had a bris milah, but rather happy for the negativity of not having the orlah. So you think that's who would be happy? I'm happy that I've had hatofas dam bris, or I'm happy that I haven't got an orlah, which is also mitzvah, not having an orlah. So saying either the positive thing of having had a bris milah, i.e. had tafas tam bris, or the negative thing of not having an orlah. Whichever way you look at it, that was his simcha. It's very interesting, halachas of had tafas tam bris, of someone who's no lad mohu, if I'm not mistaken, I have a second cousin who is no lad mohu, or maybe at least it was an orlah kavusha, which means that the orlah skin is embedded within the gid and it's not easily discernible. A second cousin is no lad mohu, and Dr. Adler, Dr. Adler came over specially. I think he was the doctor of the family, but he came over specially. He wanted to see the. He said, "I had never seen such a thing, and he just wanted to see it." So, as a medical interest, so that person is not lad mohu. I believe the halacha is you don't do hatofas dam bris on a Shabbos. If someone's no lad mohu, so there's no orlah, so you can't do hatofas dam bris on a Shabbos. Normally, you pass them that bris milah to a Shabbos, because the pasuk says if I yom hashmini yom abusar alosa v'yom hashmini b'shudash and b'afidu b'shabbos, even do it on Shabbos. If someone's no lad mohu, you don't do it on a Shabbos. My bris is on a Shabbos, I've been told. But someone who only has hatofas dam bris because they're no lad mohu, I believe you don't hatofas dam bris on a Shabbos, and it's a big machlokes in the Achronim as to whether you make a bracha on such a milah. According to the Shach, you do make a bracha, and according to the Brikei Yosef, you don't make a bracha. Yeah, and you don't do it on the eighth day. Oh yes, I forgot about that. You don't do Hatafas on this. If someone is no las mohul, he's born and there is no oral of skin, you don't do the bris on day eight.
Not only before that, the Sabbath, any day.
Yeah, any day. Ever. You leave it. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's here and there. You wait until the child's a bit stronger because it's sakana. Because when you wait a little bit until the child's a bit older. And Yaakov Chaim just told me this morning, after Shabbos, he saw in my notes, he saw the words no lav mohul. So he said to me, oh, he said there's a sefer. I don't know how he knows this. There's a sefer called Galia Maseches. You know how he is. He likes all these for Galia Maseches. And he says that apparently Reb Chaim Volozhin was born on the anniversary of his bris milah, i.e. he died on the anniversary of his bris milah on the eighth day after his birthday, right? And the point being that the Sefer Galia Maseches says that this is considered a great madrega. And it's considered like a person who dies on the day of his birthday. Right? Like the Gemara says, I don't remember where it's brought in, a person who is considered Mamali Shemostov, he lives the entire duration of his years. In other words, he lives right till he dies on his birthday because he's been granted that final year in its completeness. So I, Moshe, and David died. Moshe died on Zayin Adar, and he was born on Zayin Adar. So he didn't die on the day of the bris milah. Sorry, I haven't said this very clearly. In other words, so he says that the gadlus is to die, if a person dies on the anniversary of his bris milah. I, Moshe, died on Zayin Adar, and is born on Zayin Adar, and David died on Shavuot and was born on Shavuot. The answer is both of them were no longer mohul. They were both born mohul, so they didn't have such a bris, didn't have a proper bris. Okay, that's a little thing that Yaakov Chaim said to you just now after Dummy. Okay, let's move on. Yeah. Oh, very interesting. Right, Rashi. Let's come on to Rashi on this word Michtom. Rashi on this word Michtom Ledovid has got a big problem. Rashi quotes this Gemara in Sota, three Pshatim on Michtom, Makar Sotoma, Machvasom, David was Makhtin himself even after he became a god, or like he was Makhtin himself before he became a god in order to learn Torah. Rashi says, all these Pshatim, these Jeroshis on the word Michtom, work fine if the Pasuk would say Ledovid Michtom. Our Pasuk's got it the other way around. We've got Michtom Ledovid. If the Pasuk would say Ledovid Michtom Ledovid, a Tehillah for David, who is Michtom. He is this man who is Mach Ratom. He is the man who's Makoso Tomo. He's had a bit, he was born without an Orla, and so on. If all these great accolades are given after the name David, Ledovid Michtom, and in fact there are no fewer than five chapters in Tehillim which have this in the phrase. Did you know that? Oh.
I just
cheated
to get things. I look forward just now. I couldn't see it. Ah.
I'll tell you where you find them. They're chapters 56 to 60 inclusive. 56, 57, 58, 59 and 60 all have the phrase Ledovid Michtom in the first pasuk. Yeah? So Rashi says that all... Yes, it is. Yes. And I have... Yes. Yeah, and although I haven't learned much of Tehillim, this is all I've learned in Tehillim, in the Concordance, this is the only one which gives it as Michtom the David. Yeah? All the others are David Michtom. Yeah? Now, so Rashi says those chapters it works fine, but in this chapter it doesn't work. So Rashi needs to have a new pshat in what the pshat of the word Michtom is. Says Rashi, what it means, Rashi brings a few pshatim. He says, it's Mine ne'imus hazemer. And I'll give you the translation, a very nice translation that Rashi is given on the Chabad website, as various melodies and variations. We're talking about musical variations. There you go, no one? Musical variations. The word michtam means musical variations. We know David set the whole of Tehillim to music. So, musical variations. That's how he brings it. And this is echoed in the Targum, because the Targum translates Michtom as Galifa Saritza. Very hard word to translate. Galifa Saritza. Now, what is on earth does the word Galifa mean? So if you have a look in Parashat Tetzaveh, there you go. Parashat Tetzaveh, where the prophet says, talking about the Avnei Shoham, the stones that the Kohen Gadol wore on his shoulders, and they were engraved with the names of Klal Yisrael. Six names on each of the two stones, totaling the 12 tribes. Now, the pasuk says, here we are. Ufitachto aleihem. It's in Tetzaveh chapter Kafches pasuk test. Yeah. Ufitachto aleihem. You shall engrave upon them on the stones Shemot Yisrael, the names of the Yisrael. Now that word of fitachto, you shall engrave, is translated in the Targum as vesiglof aleihem. You shall engrave upon them. So vesiglof means you shall engrave. And we're talking about a beautiful carving, a beautiful carving or an engraving or some kind of shaping. Now our posuk, the Targum, translates michtom as galifa, an engraving, Saritza, which is beautiful. So he translates Nichtam as a beautiful engraving. What does that mean? It means well-arranged poetry. It's beautifully shaped, it's beautifully carved out, as though David carved out every single word as an artistic engraving. That's Galifa Saritza, a beautiful engraving. That goes beautifully with Rashi's pshat, that we're talking here, that it's an expression of musical variations. It's all beautiful music, beautifully crafted piece of artwork. That's how Rashi knows it. And it's
Shel David, not Le David.
Okay.
Well, no,
Shel David.
If it's Le David for him, it means that then we've got a problem with the pasuk, because therefore it means someone else composed
did it for him.
For
David could mean by David. It could be by David. I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So that's how. Now, and interestingly enough, in the Mossad Rav Kook edition of the Tehillim, he brings down the Pirush that of all the places of where Michton is translated in our chapter and in those later chapters, 56 to 60. Over there, 56 to 60, he translates it, the Targum translates it there as David Makich Ushalim. Now, Makich Ushalim is a direct translation of what the Gemara says of Michtam, Moch Vesom. He was humble and perfect. Says Makich Ushalim. That works very well over there, chapters 56 to 60, but it doesn't work here because here is Michtam Le David. Like Rashi says, it works very well to translate Michtam as Moch Vesom if you first have the name David followed by the adjective Michtam is Moch Vesom. That's how the Targum translates it, but only over there. Here, the Targum gives a totally different translation of Galifa Saritza, a beautiful engraving, an eloquent expression of poetry given to us by David. So, really, it ties in, the Rashi on our pasuk ties in beautifully both with the Targum here and the Targum on the later chapters. The Rashi is insisting that you can't dash and michtam as Moch Vesom or Makaso Toma or the expression of Anova. It doesn't work here. It works only in the later chapters, but not here. So Rashi gives a different shot in. So first shot of Rashi is musical variations. Second shot of Rashi is that the
word musical variations.
I don't know. What's the raya that the word michtam means musical variations? And I don't know.
That, in my mind, would be the most logical explanation.
Which one?
Musical variations, because everything we see is to do with prayer and conductors and
people.
So to my mind, it would be
logical. Yeah, but you still need a raya.
I know that
Rashi can prove that the word michtam is a reference to music, and I don't know that right. Rabbi Kubel once said to me when I asked him a similar sort of question, he said to me, if Rashi would walk in through the door now, he'd give you a raya on the spot. Okay, Rashi gives a second pshat on the word michtam, and that is the word michtam comes from the word kesem. Now we know the word kesem, you find the word. that we say in Nazareth, Kesem to Apos, which really is a paraphrase of a Pasuk in Shashim, chapter 8, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kesem, Rosho Kesem Poz. Rosho, his head, the head of exactly, Kesem Poz, Poz is gold, Anachamodim is Zahav, Umi Poz Rav, and Kesem is an expression of a crown. So Rashi says, the word Kesem means a crown. Therefore, the word Michtam also means a crown. Says Rashi, what does it mean? Says Rashi, the David would often say this phrase, Shamreini Kel, guard me Hashem, Ki Chasisi Lach, because I take refuge in you. He would say that, it was like a byword, he would say it so often, it's as though the words would encircle him like a crown encircles the head. It was like he was surrounded all the time by this expression, Shamreini Kel, Ki Chasisi Lach. That's how Rashi learns it. The art scroll translates that Rashi, and I must give you the quote because he translates it well. Constantly repeated it until it enveloped and encircled him like a crown. That's the art scroll translation of Rashi. It's a beautiful translation. Yeah, and in the Elkut Miam Lilies points out that you have the same ideas brought very often in the Gemara, when the Gemara says that brings very often that a particular Amoraim would have favourite expressions they would often say. And the Gemara puts it, Margula Bapume, it was Rogil, Margula from the Lashon of Rogil, he would often say it, Bapume in his mouth. An expression that very similar rhyme. And some people translate the word Margula Bapume as like a pearl in his mouth. It really comes from the word Rogil, which is regular, something we should often say. But some say, no, Margula is like Margolis, which is like a pearl in his mouth. It's an expression he would often say. Pardon? Pearls of wisdom. But the idea is, like here, Michtom, it's like a crown, constantly enveloping, constantly encircling David, rather as a parallel to what we say about Amoraim, Margulebapume is constantly in the mouth. Yeah, so that's how Rashi knows it. The Ibn Ezra gives another pshat, which is very, very similar. He says, he translates it as this mizmer, he translates the word Michtom as Nichbod, honoured, a very honoured composition of David, and it goes very much together with what Rashi says about the musical variations and beautifully crafted, like the Targum, Gelifos, Ritza, and so on. There seems to be a bit of a machlokas as to what the word Kesem means. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Shashirim, or the ratio Kesem Pos, that the word Kesem means a crown, but the Mesidus Tzion defines the word kesem as another form of gold, a top quality gold. Like poz is gold, and zahav is gold, so too kesem means gold. But most professionals seem to learn that kesem means a crown. Now the Me'iri has got another pshat. The Me'iri learns that this michtom, what the word michtom means, he says it's a musical instrument. A musical instrument which has a sweet and gentle sound. And he again relates it to the word michtom being a contraction of moch the som. But this time not referring to David as being moch, an on of and som and perfect, but rather reference to the musical instrument as being moch the som. It's a very gentle sound in musical instrument. What kind of instrument? I have no idea. But he defines it as a musical instrument which has a very gentle sound. That's the Me'iri. How would it fit in? So the answer is probably that David set his tale into music, and he's giving a musical direction that this Tehillah, when it's sung, should be accompanied by the Michtam instrument. Yeah? We've had that before, I can't remember where. Do we have it with the Yedusim? That the Yedusim is a musical instrument? Or we had it with Shigoyen. I think we had Shigoyen beginning of chapter Zion. I seem to remember we had some of Roshim who said that the Shigoyen is a musical instrument. So we had it in Gittis, Lamasech La Gittis, the beginning of chapter Ches, Lamasech, to the conductor of the choir, Al HaGittis, play this, when you sing this, it should be accompanied by the Gittis instrument.
Yeah, but maybe you should have said
Lamasech Al Michtam. Al Michtam, yeah, okay. I can't answer that. Similar to what you're asking.
What's the Gittis instrument?
I can't remember. You listen to it on the website, you'll hear chapter ches. I can't remember. So I forget these shirim faster than I can give them. Yeah. So I'll have to look back. I seem to remember that was a musical instrument. We've had a few of them, I can't remember. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, right, where are we now? Yalkut Miam Lilies. Oh yes. The Yalkut Miam Lilies takes this pshat of Rashi that the michtam is a crown, from the word kesem, meaning a crown, and he says that the idea is that that David composed this chapter when he was crowned, at the time when he was crowned, and the chapter is a chapter of anova. Mm-hmm. It's anova. Like, for example, a pasuk base, Tivati Balalecha, all the goodness that you do for me, Balalecha, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are not mechuyev to do all this good to me, and yet I receive so much goodness. Or later on, pasuk Vav, Chavolim Noflu Li Bami'imim, I think he quotes that pasuk, yes he does. Chavolim Noflu Li Bami'imim, wonderful things have happened to me, beautiful things have happened to me. So David composed this chapter at the time when he was crowned king, and that's defined by this word michdom, kesem, crown. That's how the Yalkut Miam Lilies burns. Oh, we're doing well. Back to page 4. Yeah. Now, just almost as an introduction to the whole chapter, Rav Shun Shunathal Hirsch explains this chapter in his introduction to the chapter, and he says he's got this pirush from his Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak Bernays. Rav Shun Shunathal Hirsch had some benefited from amazing Rebbes. Of course, one Rebbe was Rabbi Yaakov Eklinger, and another Rebbe he had was Rabbi Yitzchok Bernays. I say Rabbi Yitzchok, although I looked this up in the biography of Rav Shun Shunathal Hirsch, he called himself Chacham Yitzchok Bernays, which makes you think he was a Sfaradi. His name Chacham, he wasn't. He was as Ashkenazi as you can imagine. Why did he call himself Chacham? Because he was so he like after like his Talmud, Rav Shun Shunathal Hirsch, after him, had a big struggle against the Reform in Germany at that time, and many of the German Reform guys called themselves rabbis, Rabbiner, yeah, he went to Rabbiner doctor, yeah, whatever. So, well, probably doctor first. So in order to counteract, he said, I don't want to call myself Rabbin, I don't want to call myself Rabbi, because all the Reform guys call themselves Rabbis. I'm going to call myself Chacham. Of course, the Sfaradim weren't affected by the Reform, so they called themselves Chacham. So Yitzchok Bernays learns this chapter, and it's quoted by Rav Shun Shunathal Hirsch at length, that David made a mistake early in his life. And what's this mistake? The mistake was philosophical mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so high up in Shamayim, and he created the world, but having created the world, he's so lofty up on Shemei Shamayim that the minuscule mundane things that take place in Olam Hazeh are of no interest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah? Now, that was David's mistake, a philosophical mistake that he made early in life.
That's not a small mistake.
It's not a small mistake. This chapter is his teshuva from that mistake.
Right.
Oh. I don't know. How does he know? I haven't done enough, I haven't prepared enough of the chapter yet to know. But he says that is the theme of this chapter.
And
this chapter is the teshuva from that mistake. And Shomrini Kel, guard me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from making this mistake again. Because I trust in you. I take refuge in you. I put my trust in you. And David is misfollowed, that I don't want to make this mistake again. Please guard me from this mistake.
Now, you said,
yes, yeah. This chapter is to Shuvah, exactly. Yeah, well, it's a request.
If you're taking refuge in Hashem, you're showing complete bitachon in Hashem, therefore it's the opposite of his mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I saw this in Rav Shun Shunathal Hirsch, I balked at it, you know, like, wow, you know, what an accusation against David. David made such a mistake. He says he made such a mistake early in his life, and really the mistake is based on a frumkeit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great that he wants to be removed from Olam Hazeh. Yeah? So it's based on a frumkeit, but it's still a mistake. And this chapter is his teshuva from that mistake, and I think you see it most in Pasuk Ches. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi, Summit, HaKadosh Baruch is with me, I place HaKadosh Baruch in front of me, Summit the whole time. He's there the whole time in every single aspect of Olam Hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch is there and he wants to know what's going on and he's involved and he's interested. That's how he, this is the pshat that Rav Shimshon Falhash is going to give on this Pasuk.
Is he
going to
punish?
I don't know. Is he punished? I don't know. That's his name.
He wouldn't get punished, would he?
David HaMelech is described as Ne'im Tamir Sishar, and it's really a likut of Mefarshim on Tehillim, and it's put together by, very recently by Rabbi Yitzchak Gershtenkorn. Rabbi Yitzchak Gershtenkorn, and there's a beautiful photograph of him here in the biography of the Chazon Ish, the outskirt biography. There he is talking to the Chazon Ish. There's Chazon Ish. There's Rabbi Yitzchak Gershtenkorn, and he was like he was almost like the mayor of Bnei Brak. How about that from there? It was a big, tremendous man, and he put together a beautiful liquid on Tehillim, and it's called the Inzmir Sisar. So I'm now going to quote a number of Sfarim which I don't have, which he quotes from, and he brings these Pshatim. Toldos Yitzchok. He quotes a tefillah called Toldos Yitzchok. I'm going to turn the tape over before it runs out. Right, so he quotes a sefer called Toldos Yitzchok, where he says, "Ki chasisi vach, I take refuge vach in 22, Gematria 22, namely in the 22 letters of the Aleph. I put all my trust in the Torah, represented by the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis." Is that nice Gematria? Yeah, ki chasisi vach. That's one pshat. Then he brings another pshat in the name of Revi Yibbi, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Rebbe Yibbi or Yibbi, spelled Yud Yud Beis Yud. And he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Now, the pasuk in Yirmiyah is chapter base, pasuk. Yirmiyah, chapter base, and it's pasuk kaf base. Ki im techabsi b'meser, even if you wash with cleansing materials, and it's referring to a spiritual washing from Averis, v'sar bilach buris, and you use a huge amount of soap to cleanse yourself, nevertheless, nichtom avonech lefonai, your sin leaves a stain before me. Nurum Hashem Elokim, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've done an Avera, and I think in this chapter, I don't know this chapter really, but I think this chapter is a reference to Avodah Zorah. The Klal Yisrael have sinned with Avodah Zorah. That sin leaves an indelible stain, and however much you wash and you cleanse yourself, it still leaves a stain. The point being, this word nichtom, because the word kesem is a stain. We know the word kesem, a stain in terms of Hilchot Nidor, a blood stain. Kesem is a stain. So he loves, so he quotes Rebbe Yebi, who quotes this pasuk. Nichtam avonech lefanai. Your sin leaves a stain. Now, the Gemara says in Avodah Zorah, and it's Daf Dalet, it's in the bottom of Dalet on the base, and it goes to the top of Daf Hei on Dalet, where the Gemara says there that really, David HaMelech, where is it? Avodah Zorah. Hang on a minute. Avodah Zorah. Maybe I left it at home. No, I left it at home. Never mind. Okay, it doesn't matter. The Gemara says there in Avodah Zorah, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Lo David Ro'i Le'osa Maaseh. David was not really, it wasn't, it wasn't fitting that David should fall into that story. Which story are we talking about? How David saw Bathsheba, she was going to mikveh, and he fell in love with her at first sight, and therefore engineered the death of her husband, Uriah HaChiti.
Ex-husband.
Pardon?
Ex-husband.
thank you, ex-husband, because he had already, because he'd actually given a get. Yes, he gave a get before he went out to war, and the get was retrospectively valid. Yes. So, and he engineered the death of Uriah Hittite so that he should marry Bathsheba. And he married Bathsheba. And of course, the resultant birth was Shlomo HaMelech. She was the mother of Shlomo.
First son died.
It was a Nephel. First son died, yes, Nebuch. First son died. Second son was Shlomo HaMelech, yes. So, what were we saying now? Yeah. Oh, so the Gemara is very clear that David didn't really sin. Anybody who says that David sinned in marrying Bathsheba and in engineering Uriah's death is making a mistake. Uriah deserved to die, and Uriah had in any case previously divorced Bathsheba before he died. And of course, David married Bathsheba before Uriah died, on the sure certainty that Uriah would die. But by then, Lemafreya, she was going to be a Gerusha. Okay. But it was murky. It didn't look good that David married Bathsheba under these circumstances. It doesn't look good. Says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that fellow's on the base at the bottom. Lo David, roi lo samaisa. It was like not really appropriate that David should have such a situation occur to him. So why on earth did it happen? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow it to happen? Do you know this?
David asked for a test.
Yeah. Oh, we know that. Yes, true. David asked for a test. But the Gemara, and there is that reason. The Gemara here gives a different reason. The Gemara's reason is Lo Melacha, to tell you, to teach us a lesson. She'im Chata Yachid. If a Yachid does an Avira, Omrim lo, we can say to him, okay, you've done an Avira, kalach eitzel yachid, go and follow the actions of that yachid of David. He did something a bit murky with Bathsheba, but he did teshuva afterwards. So any yachid in Klal Yisrael who ever does an Avira, we can turn to him and say, take an example from David. He's also a yachid. He also did an Avira. So take a lesson from him, and you, like he did Teshuvah, so too you should do Teshuvah. So the point being that the Gemara is saying that the whole Maisa Bathsheba occurred so that later, through the history of Klal Yisrael, individuals can take a lesson from David. He did Teshuvah for it, so we should do Teshuvah for our Avirus as well. So David, now, in our chapter, turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, it will only be a useful lesson to Klal Yisrael if my teshuvah is accepted. If my teshuvah has never been accepted, then I can't. Then how will anyone else learn from me? No one else will learn from me. Therefore, says this sefer, Rabbi Yebi learns, michtam means me kesem, negate the stain. Like we saw the pasuk in Yirmiyah that the Navira Michtam Azonich, and your Navira leaves a stain. Here, Michtam is negate the Kesem. Mi is an expression of negation. Michtam is like negate the stain. Remove the stain of my Avira with Bathsheba so that my Teshuvah is accepted, because otherwise no one will ever learn from my example.
So, isn't there the negation of Manoah?
It's an abbreviation of Min, like Mimitzrayim from Egypt. Yeah, Al Tira Mirador Mitzrayim. I think because from Sisiyaki, Pashas, Vegas. Yeah, did I get it right? Yeah. So that mem is a negation of so he learns me kesem. David is standing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please remove the stain of what I did with Bathsheba. Now, a few other pshatim from the sefer Ne'im Smith Yisrael, which he quotes here from a sefer called Chozer LeDavid, that we have a Gemara in Kiddushin Lamed Tes Amud Beis, where the Gemara says in the name of Rav Yaakov, Shcha Mitzvah B'Hayah Molecha. There's no reward in this world for mitzvah. Shcha Mitzvah B'Hayah Molecha. So he asks the Kasher, the Sefer Chozer LeDavid asks the Kasher, we have a pasuk in Kiseitzei, chapter Kafala pasuk as well. V'yomos itein tzacharo, the employer has to pay his employees on the day, can't delay payment. Likewise, we've got a pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim, chapter Yud Tes, pasuk Yud Gimel, lo salim polach sochi yitzchad boker. It's a similar idea. Don't withhold wages. Someone's done an employee's work for you, you've got to pay him, you've got to pay him on time. Say after kasher, tzchad mitzvah v'hayal meleka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is delaying our payment. We do mitzvahs here and now, and you should pay us back here and now. Yeah? Why do you say Ischa Mitzvah Bahaya Amaleka? There's no reward in this world for mitzvahs. It's true, of course you've got to have reward in Olam Haba. But, you know, that's waiting for Olam Haba for the reward. But what about Biyomu? Pay now. Yeah. Yeah, but when it comes to the reward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't repay us in the here and now. Ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going against his own mitzvah. But you're sitting in Tzchayo, no sign for Lassachar Doke. Yes, still in the Aveda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do what he himself commands. He expects it of us, why doesn't he do it as well? It's a sweet kasha. So he answers with the longus. He says, the halacha is that if an employer employs an employee via a shaliach, then the din of paying on the day does not apply. Because I don't really understand halacha, but the employer can say, I didn't employ it, the shaliach employed. Yeah? So apparently the din of paying on the day doesn't apply if you employ via shaliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu employed us via shaliach. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah. He presented us with the Torah, so we've been employed by Kodesh Baruch Hu via Shliach. So therefore, Tzchanet v'Amaleka. That's what's brought in the Sefer Chazon HaDavid. However, it won't apply. You don't like it. It's a Chassidish Avot. However, listen a bit. However, it doesn't apply to two things. There are two mitzvahs where this won't apply, and it's brought in the Gemara in Makkos. Oh, you said you're going to do Makkos. So, oh, I didn't bring my Makkos. I thought I did. Never mind. Okay, no problem. Makkos Daf Kaf Dalet Amud. Aleph. No, it's in Manasseh. The Gemara in Makkos Kaf Dalet, Makkos Kaf Dalet Amud Aleph. Right at the top, it says that the first two of the Aser Tzadibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Lo Yehi Elecha Elohim Acherim Al Ponai, those two, Mepi Hagvura Shemanum, we heard those directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those two mitzvahs were not given to us via Moshe Rabbeinu, we heard them directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu employed us to those two mitzvahs directly. So therefore, we should surely be receiving reward for keeping those two mitzvahs here and now in the Olam Hazeh. Yeah, because of the Yom HaSitin Tzchorin. So he answers that, David HaMelech here says, Shamreini Keel Ki Chasisi Vach, please guard me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because of my mitzvahs, But Kichasis Vach, I take refuge in you. He learns, it's David asking for chesed. Please look after me, pure chesed, not as payment for my keeping my mitzvahs. Guard me here in Olam Hazeh, not as payment for keeping those two of the first two dibros, for which I should be rewarded here in Olam Hazeh, but just as a pure chesed, sort of off the books, you know, please sort of look after me off the books, not as a reward, but as a pure chesed. Okay, that's great. Yeah, let's leave it there. That's great. Oh, very good. So we finished that's Pascal. Next week, Amir Tashem will carry on.
Israel is my firstborn son. So you're serving yourself as a son rather than as an employee.
Rather than an employee.
And serving her for reward is the love of his
father. Like Im Kavonim, Im Kavodim. Yeah. We serve our Kosh Vachan like children rather than like Kavodim. Oh, yeah, very good. Shtech.